Good morning and welcome to the celebration of Holy Communion on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time in the Church's lectionary. This is also Father's Day. We thank God for the loving devotion of our parents, particularly our fathers. We thank God for all that they do for us and mean to us. Some of our fathers are no longer with us in this earthly life, and are walking more closely with God in heaven. Today, we remember affectionately and appreciatively all that was good and true in their time spent with us.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
Hymn 652, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us."
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
our heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Collect of the Third Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, beginning at verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took a staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 9, verses 9 to 20. Which we shall say by alternate division of verses. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed,
a stronghold in times of trouble.
And those who know your name put their trust in you.
For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion.
Declare his deeds among the peoples.
For he who avenges blood is mindful of them.
He does not forget the cry of the afflicted.
Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me.
You are the one who lifts me up from the gates of death.
So that I may recount all your praises in the gates of daughter Zion,
and rejoice in your deliverance.
The nations have sunk in the pit that they have made.
In the net that they hid has their own foot been caught.
The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment.
The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands.
The wicked shall depart to the land of darkness.
All the nations that forget God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor perish forever.
Rise up, O Lord, do not let mortals prevail.
Let the nations be judged before you.
Put them in fear, O Lord.
Let the nations know that they are only human.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honour and dishonour, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, number 110. Tell me the stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me, if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood around his knee, and I shall think of his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, while love was shining in Jesus' face. Tell me in words full of wonder how rolled the sea, tossing the boat in a tempest on Galilee. How Jesus doing his Father's will, ended the storm with peace, peace be still. Tell me with joy of his rising up from the grave, and how he still lives triumphant, ready to save. Wonderful story, Jesus, my friend, living and loving right to the end. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The words of a poem, "Peace Be Still," by James Cleveland. The winds and the waves shall obey my will, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. For many, the sea conjures up delightful images. Some enjoy the serenity of a quiet walk on the shore or a cruise to a tropical island. Modern images of the sea are typically tame and inviting, lulling us into associating the sea with a sense of tranquility. The sea can be described in an endless number of ways. It is refreshing, beautiful, and humbling. Not so for St. Mark. Mark's sea is not a place for romantic cruises on crystal blue waters. According to theologian Sharon Dowd, the waters are demon-filled and threaten to leave people behind whenever their loved ones set sail in pursuit of their livelihood. Mark's sea is where discipleship is challenged, where boundaries are impassable, where life hangs in the balance, and where evil lurks as a formidable foe. Storms happen, even to the best, the smartest, and the most prepared among us. Storms terrify us, knocking us around, threatening to destroy our stability and security. We do not know whether we can withstand them, and we are uncertain of how long they will last. At least, that's how a storm at sea would be for most of us. That is how it was for the disciples. At the end of a long day teaching, Jesus needs a break and initiates a trip across the Sea of Galilee. Although the water is usually calm, the wind coming over the surrounding mountains can suddenly raise a tumultuous storm. Even with Jesus on board, they still encountered tremendous gusts. There was no avoiding this storm. Even as they faithfully followed Jesus' instructions to cross the water to the other side, they were beaten by waves. even though surrounded by other boats. The wind howled, lightning flashed, rain poured, thunder boomed, and the boat seemed to be sinking. The disciples were terrified that they would perish, and Jesus was asleep, on a cushion, no less. So they cry out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" It is then that Jesus calmed the sea with the words, "Peace, be still." An image captured so well in the lyrics of the song written by James Cleveland. We may have never crossed the Sea of Galilee, but we've been in that boat. This story is not just a story about a boat trip and stormy weather. It's a story about life. Our life, our fear, our faith. Times of intense difficulty, trouble or danger have often been compared to stormy seas. They come upon us whether we like it or not. Life is like that. We can avoid some storms by watching the weather forecast and using some common sense. We can avoid some emotional, spiritual, financial and social disasters by being wise and following God's instructions. But sometimes bad things just happen, even while we're minding our own business, doing what is right, living out our baptismal promises to the best of our ability, with God's help. Sometimes life places us in a boat and storms begin to rage. The storms of pain and loss, the storms of rejection and failure, the storms of illness and death, the storms of pandemic and polar vortex. Storms brought on by racial and political unrest. Whenever or however they arise, storms are about changing conditions. Life becomes overwhelming and out of control. The waves crash, the boat fills up, and we're struggling to stay afloat. For more than a year, the storm of pandemic has taken us to uncharted waters. We have a desired destination, but are not sure of where we will end up or when we will get there. The water is deep, and the new shore is a distant horizon. We long to trade in our lament for the psalmist's proclamation, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Instead, we cry out in fear, "God, where are you? Do you not care that we are suffering?" When the wind ceased and the waves became calm, Jesus questioned the disciples' fear and lack of faith. It is worth noting that Jesus never said, "There is nothing to be afraid of." The storm on the Sea of Galilee that night must have been extremely fearsome if seasoned fishermen doubted their own ability to keep the boat afloat. We often confuse the two phrases, but saying "there's nothing to be afraid of" is quite different from saying "do not be afraid." The truth is that things that cause fear are very real. Isolation, pain, viruses, the loss of one's job, or loss of a relationship, illness and death are real. Like the disciples in our text, we are also challenged to rediscover our faith in God's word when we find ourselves in the midst of storms. The questions Jesus asked the disciples are the questions he continues to ask us. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? As we grow in faith, we come to understand that the things that cause us despair do not have the last word. Yet faith does not eliminate, change,
or take us around the storms of our lives. Rather, faith takes us through the storms, reminding us that Jesus is there with us. We are reminded that the power of God is mightier than any wind that beats against us, that the love of God is deeper than any wave that threatens to drown us. Jesus invites us to stay with him in the boat, saying, "Let us go across to the other side. I won't leave your side. I'll journey with you." And let us not forget that Jesus was not addressing only one disciple when he invited them in their boat trip. He addressed all 12. And St. Mark tells us that other boats were with him. They were in community. If the past year has taught us anything, it is the importance of community. People have worked so hard to stay connected to their communities, even while apart. Just as the disciples set off for the other shore with Jesus in the stern, we too journey with our community, accompanied by the Master of ocean and earth and skies, who promises, "The wind and the waves shall obey my will. Peace, be still." Some years ago in the United States, after the last winds died down from Hurricane Katrina, there was little optimism among those who remained in New Orleans and could venture out to see what had happened to their city. But in the heart of the French Quarter, in the courtyard behind St. Louis Cathedral, they found a sign of hope. A statue of Jesus standing with outstretched arms on a white marble pedestal still stood amid the rubble, unscathed by the destruction all round. A giant magnolia tree had fallen a few feet away. So had an ancient oak. Several burial vaults lay broken and smashed. But there stood the risen Christ with outstretched arms, offering peace and calm. My friends, when the storms of life toss us to and fro, may we be reminded that the Master of the winds and the waves is present in every storm, and his response is always the same. Peace. Be still. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, keep the Church constant in faith and works, secure against the conflicting demands of the world. We pray for this diocese, which shall meet online in Synod later this week, and for David, our bishop, who will preside. May we be encouraged for ministry in this next session. We pray for this group of parishes and for the young people who shall be confirmed later today. Rhys Ewing, Alana Giandani, Joshua McKeown, Emily O'Neill, Zara Salters, Charlotte Moore, Mark Stanford, Sarah Whiteman, and Jenny Whiteman. Help them to put Christ first in every part of their lives, to meet him regularly at his table and in your word, and to grow in the knowledge of his love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, give peace to all people in the world that are torn by the storms of war and violence. Come into the hearts of the powerful, giving them a desire to be reconciled with their enemies and to live in harmony. Where there is hatred, let there be love. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government. For the First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. We pray also for President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Inspire us today with fresh revelations of your plans for our lives and our world. Instill in us a new sense of adventure to embrace what lies ahead with anticipation and hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, be our shelter in this time of peril, and strengthen the bonds of our community. In our work, let us remember that we are workers together with Jesus. Give us grace to be mediators in disputes and to calm the tensions in our daily lives with others. We pray for all fathers, especially those in our own and our local families. Give them the unfailing love that Mary and Joseph gave to Jesus, and uphold them in times of anxiety and distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, have compassion on those who have no peace in themselves, and bring them the peace of your presence. Watch over sailors and all who travel by sea, and preserve them from danger. Give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, as we pray especially for Terence Hazley. We pray for all who are bereaved, and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for those who have crossed from life through death and have come to rest in eternal life. Grant them a safe harbour and the peace that cannot be broken. As we mark the first anniversary of her death, we remember with thanksgiving Dame Vera Lynn. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume, to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Peace to you from God our Heavenly Father. Peace from his Son Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Peace from the Holy Spirit and life-giver. The peace of the triune God be always with you.
And also with you.
From Thanks and Praise, hymn number 9, as we gather at your table.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him, and he in us.
He opened wide
his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying,
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen.
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 Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining and whose power we cannot comprehend. Give us a glimpse of your glory on earth, but shield us from knowing more than we can bear until we may look upon you without fear, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. The hymn, Eternal Father, Lord of Life. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We thank you for being with us during this online service, and we wish all fathers listening, and indeed all fathers everywhere, a very happy Father's Day. This afternoon, the bishop will administer the rite of confirmation in the Church of the Ascension Anna Hilt at 3 o'clock. All are welcome, but because of safe distancing, it will be necessary to overflow into the parochial hall where the service will be live streamed. If you intend coming, do please let Rector's Church Warden Trevor Hill know immediately. His contact details are in the parish magazine. Confirmation will also be administered in Mara Hamlet Parish Church at 6:30 p.m. Again, all are welcome, but it will be necessary to overflow into the parochial hall. If you intend coming, would you please let Hilary Edgar or George and Sally McCurry know immediately. Also, their contact details are in the parish magazine. Sunday next, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, there will be a service online from 10 o'clock. In-church services will take place at Anna Hilt at 10 o'clock and at Mara Hamlet at 12 noon. Next Sunday, we plan to observe the centenary of Northern Ireland and to commemorate the first state opening of the Northern Ireland Parliament, which took place 100 years ago this week. Friday past was the first anniversary of the death of Dame Vera Lynn. Two young men far from home, facing the thought of death and never seeing their loved ones again, hers was an enduring message of hope. Also, it was as if carrying the baton for them, she would remind future generations of the monumental human cost of war and help us to carry forward that same message of hope which has resonated during our very different battle with coronavirus during the past year. Today, as our very own personal remembrance of Dame Vera Lynn, please join me in singing The White Cliffs of Dover, which was held to be intensely patriotic, and We'll Meet Again, which expressed a mood of fervent optimism.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow, when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Thank you.